Thank you so much. I want to also thank our hosts, Haymarket Books and Jacobin Magazine. Of course, it's a huge honor to be speaking to Angela Davis. Everyone tuned in knows why. She's brilliant, she's brave, she's engaged. She embodies the title of that book we just saw, Freedom as a Constant Struggle, but also puts the joy, I think, in struggle, right? That it's not just struggle is duty, but struggle is something that gives us meaning and pleasure. So thank you, Angela, for being here. Our theme is democracy. And I guess I just want to begin by saying I didn't always like the word democracy. I came of age in the aughts under the war on terror, and George W. Bush saying he was bringing democracy to the Middle East really shaped my perception. I was not interested in democracy. It sounded hollow, corrupt. I was interested in words like liberation, equality, socialism, communism, revolution, anything but democracy. And I began to rethink my ambivalence in 2011 when there was a wave of global movements from the Arab Spring to the movement of the squares to Occupy Wall Street, which I was very involved in, demanding real democracy and saying this, in all these contexts, what we have isn't it. So almost 10 years later, my conviction now is that democracy is a concept that we need to struggle over, and that for all of its frustrating vagueness, and you know, it's a hard word to define, it is also inherently radical. And that's why the powerful have always despised it, and why they have tried to co-opt it or limit our understanding and practice of it. So there are lots of ways to define democracy. Each one raises a lot of questions, a lot of conundrums, paradoxes. That's what I write about in my book, how democracy contains all these paradoxes. But broken down into its component parts, it means the demos, the people, have kratos, have power, and we can, and I think we'll have to endlessly struggle over how we define the people and how we rule, how we hold that power. It's always open to debate, to contestation, and I think ultimately to expansion, radical expansion.
Well, you know, I've also been questioning whether the outcome of the last election might have been different if more attention had been paid to those who are experiencing the impact of global capitalism, poor white families who now recognize that their children are not going to be better off than they were. If we had developed strategies that would have permitted us to recognize that so many of the existing problems in this country are directly related to the rise and the spread of global capitalism. As a matter of fact, we used to have more economic democracy than we have today. It used to be that people could expect to be treated at any hospital if they were ill. Hospitals and the whole healthcare system had not been thoroughly privatized as it has been, which is one of the reasons why the COVID-19 pandemic has created such a state of emergency, particularly with respect to hospital beds, because empty hospital beds are not profitable. So I think that if one looks at that, the impact of global capitalism, the way in which it is very much an explanation for the rise of the prison industrial complex, the disestablishment of so many of the institutions that used to serve as a safety net, economic safety net for people, increasing privatization of education, the privatization of healthcare. And so the failure to develop more institutions devoted to the public good and the deterioration of those that existed have created a terrain in which poverty has expanded, not only among communities of color, black, brown, indigenous communities, but also among white people. And the current occupant of the White House called upon those who were suffering the impact of global capitalism, providing suggesting false solutions, a return to another era, a return to an era in which the industrialized economy in this country responded to the needs of people. And that's not going to happen. All the jobs that have gone all over the world, particularly to the global south, are not going to return to the U.S. So I think it really is important to consider the ways in which economic transformations have a direct impact on possibilities for democracy. Yeah, and there are, of course, some contemporary efforts to evoke the red-baiting of the past in the way in which the current occupant of the White House attempted to discredit the current Democratic vice presidential candidate by calling her a communist. I won't comment on that, but I do think it's important in this conversation about democracy to recognize the role that socialists and communists have played in struggling for democracy in this country. I know that for decades, there were ways in which people in other countries who were involved in socialist and communist struggles referred to the other America. You know, there was the America, you know, represented, you know, by the those in power, and then there were the unions. There were the struggles against racism, the struggles against of sexism, and I think that you were saying that you've been reading a lot of history recently, and what we've lost in our historical accounts is precisely the role that communists and other socialists played in expanding the possibilities of democracy in this country. We have unemployment and insurance, precisely as a consequence of the struggles in the 1930s. If one looks at the role that that Black communists played in the South in creating the terrain for what eventually came to be known as the civil rights movement, that has basically been eradicated from mainstream representations of history. And as we are engaging in what people are calling a racial reckoning, I think that the terminology should be broader. It's not simply a racial reckoning. It's a reckoning with the history of this country, not only the history of racism and the history of class exploitation, but also the history of the resistance. And if we aren't aware of those whose struggles created democracy as an aspirational notion, not as a given set of affairs, not as a simply a way in which government is organized, but a struggle for a more just, more equal society. If we eradicate that from our history, then we have nowhere to start. We don't acknowledge the continuum.